Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, they help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Their doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true healing starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Circuit of the Americas, make some noise! Hello, everybody. Welcome to the official Formula One podcast that is F1 Explains! My name is Christian Hugill, and this week we are live on stage in front of hundreds of beautiful, wonderful, lovely people at the Circuit of the Americas in Austin, Texas! For those that don't know, this is how this podcast works. You email f1explains@f1.com, and I frantically run around the Formula One paddock finding the best people to answer your questions. My name is Christian Hugill, and can I say, guys, how amazing it is to be in Austin. I love this place. Who's from Austin? Who lives here? Guys, I love your city. I love your city. Do you like my hat? Yeah? I bought this from Alan's Boots on South Congress last year. Do we know this? Yeah? Lovely people. I'm not sure being a Brit, I suit it necessarily, but I thought when in Rome, you know, if you're going to wear it anywhere, you've got to wear it at the US Grand Prix, so I thought I'd go for it. So, we find experts from all over the world of Formula One to answer your questions. We've just done episodes recently with the likes of Alex Albon. Any Alex fans in? That was loud. You guys like Alex, don't you? Who else have we had on recently? We've had Esteban Ocon on. Any Haas fans at the home race? But now we can introduce some legends, because this week answering your questions in front of a load of wonderful people are a world champion and a 13-time Grand Prix winner. They were teammates at McLaren and now they're best mates. How cool is that? Austin, I want you to go absolutely wild for the legendary David Coulthard and Mika Häkkinen!
Good morning.
Gentlemen, it is great to see you. How are you this morning? How is your? I understand you've just been on a police escort over, I understand.
It's not the first time.
You're such a flash guy, Mika Häkkinen.
He is, indeed. So we both live in Monaco, which is a very small town. You might have heard of it. It's one of the great Grand Prix. And I always know when Mika's moving along because he has a police escort everywhere he goes. I'm normally on my bicycle, but that's what a couple of world championships will do for you.
Mika, do you have a police escort when you're going to the supermarkets, when you're, you know, going out for a walk?
Always. Oh.
Guys, I also understand that you two, as well as being legendary racing drivers, don't you guys do theatre shows around the country and around the world anyway? I've got that right, haven't I?
Yeah, we just spent a week together touring the UK, and did you see it? You, well done, thank you.
That man was there, thank you, sir.
Thank you for buying the ticket, and it pays for Mika's police escort. So, and it was really fun because we were sort of reminiscing of the 90s and the 2000s when we were racing together with Michael and Fernando, amazingly, and Lewis were still racing when I was racing. But and we're doing it in Australia as well. We're doing a week before the Melbourne Grand Prix. So, you know, I basically get to see him in the morning in his bathrobe. I get to see him in the evening in his suits and everything in between.
It basically means you don't need me here. I sort of feel like I'm in the way. If at any point you want me to go, you guys just do it. You're far more qualified than me. Right, we're going to get some listeners on stage in a moment. But first, we need to talk about Formula One. For those listening to the podcast, be aware we're talking before the US Grand Prix, right? All of you guys who are here are about to watch the US Grand Prix. We have got a title fight on our hands at the moment between Lando Norris and Oscar Piastri. You spotted what I've spotted, DC,
there.
Yeah,
that was interesting. There was definitely a bigger cheer for Oscar, so...
Mika, how do you think McLaren are handling this title fight between these two drivers?
Me and David, we were at McLaren for many years. I think we're the longest teammates ever in Formula One, and we were, history is repeating itself. We were in a very similar situation. How did we handle it?
Well, normally I crashed and you won. So I wasn't very happy. But yeah, it is, you're right. History is repeating itself. Ron Dennis tried to sort of control, you know, Mika would win this race or I would win that race. But in the end, we didn't like it because we're racers. The fans didn't like it back then,
and
if you remember.
And we didn't have any team orders.
There we go. But we don't like it now. But hopefully what will happen is now the Constructors has won, and fair play to McLaren. They've done an amazing job. What was it, like 3-4 years ago? They were ninth in the Constructors to now being double champions. But we want to see the drivers race. We want to see them go wheel to wheel. And hopefully that will be the case. The fans have spoken.
Oh, they've really spoken. There's been talk this weekend of repercussions. Were there ever any repercussions when you guys were teammates? DC, did you ever have to do Mika's washing or vice versa?
No, we look, Mika got the win in Jerez 97 when Jack and Michael crashed, and then 98 we had a fast car. But when we turned up in Melbourne, we'd tested all winter, and we'd never done more than 20 laps without the car breaking down. So imagine you go to the first Grand Prix, you have a car that you know is going to be right at the front, but it hasn't done 21 laps, and the Grand Prix is 58. So we agreed the only way that we can maybe make the end of the race is not to push 100% in the Grand Prix. And that sounds insane, I know, but we lapped everybody up to fourth place. That's how fast the car was. And, you know, we agreed whoever came out of the first corner would control the pace. Unfortunately for me, he came out of the first corner first, and then the rest is history. But look, Formula One's about the trophy. It's not about money, but McLaren still paid as if I'd won the race, even though I finished second. So does that make it right? You know, I would like to have won the Grand Prix, but you know, I've got a lot of respect for Mika, and he went on to win the championship.
Just for the context, David, you were given team orders to let Mika pass for victory twice. Firstly, at Jerez 1997, then at Melbourne in 1998. We're talking, you know, you guys are now retired from Formula One. You're great friends. Was it possible to be friends when you were teammates, Mika? Was it possible to be friends back then?
Yes and no. I mean, it is possible, you know, but at the end of the day, you know, it's really a huge competition what the teammates are going through in a situation where, particularly when you are in a situation to able to win races, because you know that year when you have a chance to win a world championship, what you are thinking is that, wait, this could be my only chance to win the championship. It's not maybe happening following year or year after. So this attention, this competition is so high. So it's difficult to get very close to your teammate. But of course, this end of the day, this is a gentleman business. And you have to respect each other's and others' abilities and the talent. So you have to work together.
DC, we've got so many more younger fans in Formula One nowadays, which is amazing. But we have to remember, when people are cheering for one or the other driver, and they'll have their favourites, and that's great. But these guys are elite-level athletes, aren't they? Pushing to the limit. This is sport at the end of the day. There are going to be imperfections, aren't there?
Well, they're human beings, and human beings make mistakes, and we should not be shy about that.
I don't do mistakes.
Yeah. Actually, that reminds me of Michael Schumacher. After we crashed together in Spa 98, he was pretty angry, as you can imagine. And then a couple of weeks later, we're at the Italian Grand Prix, and we had a meeting, just the two of us, and he was putting 100% blame on me. And I was like, look, Michael, I'll accept my responsibility, but I didn't crash into myself. You crashed into me. So you have to accept some of the blame.
And it was like, filmed, Michael. It was
yeah. And Michael was like, no, I don't see that. So I said, come on, Michael, you've got to be wrong sometimes. And he went, not that I remember. Well remembered.
Oh, well done, sir.
And,
lovely.
And you know what? At that moment, I realized the difference between champions and guys like me who try their best. They have absolute belief. That's why you just heard Mika say he's never wrong.
Right. This is F1 Explains. We have listeners all over the world, and we've invited some to come and put some questions to you guys. Are you okay with that? Would you like to meet some of our listeners? Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to give a huge COTA welcome to our first listener on stage. It's Whitney! Whitney, welcome.
Hello.
Now, Whitney, we've got a lot to talk about because Ella is also here from Formula One. Whitney, I'm not sure how we're going to do this. I need you to explain, Whitney, what you've got with you. Bear in mind, there'll be plenty of people listening to this podcast who can't see it. So explain what you're holding with you here.
Yeah, so we have the dogs of F1. So we have a group of stunt dogs. They're all rescue dogs too. So we travel all over North America performing with our dogs, but our favorite is to perform at Formula One. So we have the dogs of F1. We have Oscar Paw Astry, Land Dog Norris, George Jack Russell, Toto Wolff, Alex Albon. There's Land Dog.
And Whitney, I'm just going to interrupt you. These are cardboard plastic cutouts.
Yes, but the dogs are real.
Each with the actual dog on them.
Yes.
And each dog has been named after someone in Formula One. And, you know, the puns are a mixed bag, if we're being honest. We've got Zach Bark here. Guys, what do we think to Zach Bark?
Zach Bark actually was hanging out with Zach Brown yesterday. He invited him to come say hi, and they got to meet up.
Zach Bark met Zach Brown.
Yes.
DC, what do you think?
Max Verstappen. Yeah, nice. I like that. That's good.
Laurent Mutkies. Yes, lovely.
Yeah, okay.
He's got the glasses.
I think that's
in the hair.
You're trying too hard with that one.
Yeah, it's a mixed bag.
And Kimi Popanelli.
Okay. Kimi Pop.
He is like a young pop, actually, isn't he?
He really is, yeah. Guys, I think this is worth a round of applause for the effort here. This is quite remarkable. Mika, what do you think?
Very funny.
Very funny, yes. Good. Whitney, would you like to ask some questions to our legends here?
Yes, I would love to. First off, I was wondering if you guys have any dogs at home, or have you had a dog before?
I've had three dogs, but they all belong to my exes. So when the relationship ended, the dog left. So, but I got to name one of them because I'm not going to say which girlfriend it was, but she was very emotional. And I said, you can have a dog, but I get to name it. And she was like, okay, what name? And I said, Moody. Because she was very moody, so the dog was called Moody.
And yeah. and hence X, I'm imagining.
Yeah, exactly.
Sure. Mika, any dogs?
Yeah, I have a couple of dogs, yes, indeed. Golden Retriever.
A Golden Retriever?
Yeah, so
my
nice.
Dad's in the audience, Mika, and it's my dad's birthday today. Can you give my dad a round of applause for his birthday? I can't see where my dad is because there's lots of people, but we have a Golden Retriever called Teddy, Mika. They're wonderful dogs, aren't they?
Fantastic.
And what are their names, Mika?
Rocky and Daisy.
And you weren't tempted to name them after Formula One drivers, name them after DC, maybe?
No.
Fair enough. Whitney, you've got other questions that aren't dog-related, haven't you? So should we talk about... let's talk about Formula One. It's an official Formula One podcast. We should at some point. Ask a question. Away you go.
Yeah, so my first question was, I was wondering, when you guys were racing, what was your typical race day routine? Like, from waking up to when you were down on the grid, did you have any, like, pre-race superstitions? And what did you do after a race? Like, what was your routine like?
Well, I tell you what, when you're doing a race weekend, you know, one of the most important things are your nutrition. How do you eat? How much you drink? The rest is very important. And to be honest, the one thing is very important, to be extremely organized, because you really want to stay focused all the time, and it's very challenging, and it makes sometimes the racing driver to look very cold and not available for the fans and people, simply because they need to really to take all the concentration and all the energy for the race and for the qualification. So it's quite a challenge in the weekend, of course. It's quite lonely. Even you constantly are working with engineers, data engineers, and solving the problems. So it's not talking about the nice things. It's all about talking about solving the problem. So it's quite tiring.
DC, did your routine differ to Mika's at all?
I loved living by an alarm. Even today, my mobile phone has got all the alarms set for today to remind me when I'm doing different things. And it's, for me, the way I used to live my life. So I wanted a good hour and a half in the morning to wake up, have breakfast in the room, maybe go for a swim or something just to get the system working. And then my alarm would go off when I had to be in an engineering meeting. The alarm would go off when I needed to put my suit on. We had to share a changing room and a toilet and a shower. So I would try and set my alarm a couple of minutes earlier than I thought he would want to use the toilet and get in there early and just, you know, take my time. So it's very regimented. And it's even from going in the garage, speaking to the mechanics, getting in the car, all of that isn't just random. It's down to 30 seconds. And that's preparation that gets you in the right mood for ultimately going out and racing.
Mika, how was sharing bathroom facilities and changing facilities with David? Was that a harmonious relationship?
Yeah, sometimes it was quite scary.
I've never heard anyone describe David Coulthard as scary before. You're very approachable.
I think so. Yeah, I think, you know, but maybe I just had my game face on.
Fair enough. I really like your second question, Whitney. Again, you're as good at asking questions as I am. You lead the way.
Yeah, so one of my favorite things about coming to Formula One races is meeting all the team members, specifically the ones that like work behind the scenes, like the mechanics, the social media manager, everybody that just makes the race weekend happen. And I was wondering, if you guys weren't the driver, like, what job would you have in Formula One, or what job would you think you would be good at?
That's a good question. Well, basically, we're unemployable other than being race drivers. So I don't know, maybe I'd be a cleaner or make the tea or something like that, but... Off. There's the thing. That's what I do, isn't
there's,
it? Yeah.
There's people in the crowd shouting, commentator. Yeah, but you're good. DC, we should say, not everybody does that when they've retired. That's a skill set in itself.
Yeah, but when I was 14, I was watching Formula One. The commentator was a gentleman called Murray Walker. And in the co-commentary box was James Hunt. And James Hunt was someone that helped Mika in his early career when he was a Marlboro driver. And my father said to me, if you're lucky, you'll have a 10-year career as a driver. You should work in television after your career.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and you imagine, I'm in a small village in the southwest of Scotland, and at 14, 10 years later, I'm a Grand Prix driver. 15 years later, I'd signed to work with the BBC. So it's almost like it was a vision, you know, a premonition of what the future would hold. But what's your future hold, Mika? Are you ever going to get a job?
Well, I tell you what, the Formula One, when I was racing there, and all the other categories when I was racing, I always was fascinated about the teamwork, you know, finding the best possible people and finding the solutions. And even today, I love it. You know, it's great to come to Formula One. It's great to work with the team, finding the best programs and things like that, and meeting new people.
Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, we help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Our doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true health starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at AbilityChiro.com. That's AbilityChiro.com.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
We've seen legendary ex-Formula One drivers like Sir Jackie Stewart, Alain Prost, I'm sure there are other examples, become team principals or own or run teams. Were either of you ever tempted to do that?
Yeah, I want to enter the 12th team, and I'm going to call it Apex, because Apple have done all the They've done all the promotion already, and mainly because I've got a crush on Brad Pitt, so I'd like him to to come and work for the team.
Lovely stuff. Whitney, you've got one final question, which is an absolute cracker.
Yeah, so my final question is if you guys think if Max Verstappen and Ayrton Senna raced each other in the same cars, both at their peak, who would win?
It's a cruel question, this. The crowd are shouting.
Yeah, it's quite interesting. I think depends which car, of course. Would it be the car when Ayrton was racing or the current car?
Let's say meet in the middle. A 2000 Jordan, somewhere in the middle of the
first
two.
First of all, both of these drivers, of course, they're very brave, extremely talented, mega fast, good team players. So, difficult one. I think they would be equal.
Equal. Mick is sitting entirely on the fence. DC, are you going to join him on the fence, or are you going to...
Well, you know, it's not my opinion. I've heard Max say that for him, Senna was the best driver. So I'll go with the current world champion's voice, which is Senna.
A lovely example. Whitney, you have been a superstar. We'll give you your dog balls back at the end. So what our wonderful listeners and fans here, what I'd like you to do is give a huge round of applause to Whitney and also welcome our next listener onto the stage. It's Emily. Thank you, Whitney. And Emily, welcome. Give Emily a cheer, everybody. Emily, meet the legends. Emily, talk to us about who is on the front of your T-shirt, please.
Yes, so I'm representing Isaac Hajar today.
He's done a great job in his first year, hasn't he, DC?
Amazing, actually. I'm really impressed with the F2 guys coming into F1. They don't look like rookies at all. You know, of course, they're still puppies. They're going to pee on the carpet occasionally, but they've shown great speeds and... You know, Hadjar, from that opener in Melbourne where he looked like a broken man to having the results he's had, it's just, you know, incredible to see the talent.
What is it you like about Isaac, Emily?
Well, first of all, he's a super talented rookie. Obviously, we can tell that from his driving so far this year. But I also just think he's such an endearing young man.
I think we agree with that, don't we, guys? He's had a fantastic start to his F1 career, Isaac Hadjar. Emily, you've got some cracking questions for our legends. Take it away with your first one.
Yeah, absolutely. So I would love to hear more about F1 then versus now. So what does modern F1 have that you wish was around in your era?
Well, it's definitely much more complicated now than it was in our time. You know, when we were talking with the data engineers, we had maybe 3 to 4 data engineers. And now they are like 25, 30... data engineers.
At the track and back at the factory as well.
Yeah, exactly. Also back in the factory. So when you've done your free practice and you go back in the motorhome or whatever you call it, you have 25 people who you have to communicate about the balance of the car, the changes what we made, how that affects your driving and this and that. So it's become a very, very complicated, very challenging for the driver to be able to get the right information but I still, you know, so our time was much more simple in that way. We had less people working. But I think in our time, when we were racing, I think the drivers were much better.
I wonder why you would say that, Mika. DC, anything that you wish was around in your era? Podcasts, maybe?
No, I'm very much live for the moment. So our moment was that time, and it was, you know, imagine this. There was no internet. There was no iPhones. You know, I remember when I had the first little Nokia handheld, and someone said, hey, look, you can send a text. And I was like, why would you want to send a text? Now, of course, we do most of our communication through text and messaging and stuff. So what I love about Formula One is what I love about life. Technology, we're curious people. Humans are always pushing, for the next great, great thing. But if you break the sport down to its most basic things, a Formula One driver has to make 5 decisions. Do I go straight? Do I go right? Do I go left? Am I using the throttle? Am I using the brake? 5 decisions. So it doesn't matter if it's Fangio, Mika Hakkinen, or Max Verstappen. Some people do those 5 decisions better, but that's the essence of what we do.
Beautifully summed up. I mean, very simple, this F1 stuff, isn't it?
It's very simple.
Emily, your second question is similar but different.
Yeah, so who is your favorite driver from any era and why?
I think this is a really tricky question to pick one. Mika.
For me, it was David Coulthard.
Oh!
That's because I finished second to him. That's why he liked me.
And why was that, Mika?
Oh, I tell you what. You know, like I said, David was the longest teammate. I had it. I had Ayrton Senna. I had a Nigel Mansell. Alain Prost was some point. I had a Martin Brundle, Mark Blundell, Johnny Herbert, many different drivers. And of course, then there was a great characters, different characters and different talents out there. But we had a good time. I think David is cool.
David, if you now don't give the answer of Mika Häkkinen, it's going to be really awkward. So I'm going to leave it entirely up to you.
Yeah.
Who is your favourite driver from any era and why?
Well, I think if I remember when I was watching it on television, my sort of favourite driver growing up was Alain Prost. And I liked how smooth he was. And you know, we ended up working with Alain. He was I was his test driver at Williams, and then he came to McLaren and was our test driver, which was just incredible when I took myself back to being a 14-year-old watching the sport. But I think, you know, as kids, whatever picture you had on your wall, that tends to stay with you through your life. And the fact that we ended up being Grand Prix drivers, of course, it was our goal, but we're just fans. We're fans that got one of the best seats in the house, and I think we appreciate that. We were 7 years together as teammates. I've only had one relationship in my life that was longer than 7 years. So, you know, this is one of the longest.
A bit of a theme of this podcast, DC. Anyway, right, we've talked a little bit about the past. Emily, yes. Bring us to the future.
Yes, absolutely. I just wanted to say, like, your dynamic as teammates is so inspiring. I love both of your energy together. So,
thank you. That's
thank
so
you
cool.
for giving us some wonderful history. Yeah, this one is kind of about what's to come. So F1 is about to enter a very exciting new era in 2026 with new regulations and new cars. So what are the biggest challenges for drivers in a new set of regs with different cars?
We lived through some change of regulations. You know, we started with V10s. There was V12s at that time. I'm not sure if you raced the V12, but I tested V12 engines. I raced V10s, V8s, and we went 98 to these narrow cars with groove tires, which was kind of a horrible era. The groove tires were always graining, but you know, at the end of the day, the job is the same. You need to try and drive the car quickly and you want to win the Grand Prix. So I actually don't think having these new regs next year, the best drivers will still be the best drivers. They'll adapt to the technology and they'll learn how to exploit it to the best of their ability. I'm optimistic about the future, but I'm actually loving how competitive this era is. You know, we've got a Sauber on fourth or fifth on the grid. You know,
Nico.
Incredibly close. The current Formula One, the top eight, and we spoke about this on the tour, the top eight in Monza was closer than the 100-meter final when Usain Bolt set the world record. The difference between Usain Bolt at 9.5 or 9.6 seconds and the guy in eighth with 0.7 of a second. In Monza, the difference between the top eight was 0.6 of a second, and we do that over 5.5 kilometres. And how long is 100 metres? Oh, yeah, 100 metres. Yeah.
I genuinely thought you were asking that on F1 Explains. excellent, excellent stuff. Well, you have been fantastic, Emily.
Well, thank
and I'm
you
sure
for
you
having
guys
me.
Agree.
Thank Ladies you so much.
Give a big round of applause to Emily.
Thank you.
Emily, thank you so much.
Of course.
Right, guys, a couple of quick fire ones before we finish. We've got 1 minute. So this is from the inbox at f1explains@f1.com. Let's go for Michael. Michael says, in a previous F1 Explains show on braking, it was mentioned how G-forces affect the body, such as the driver's leg. How does a driver account for that when braking? Mika, David, what does it feel like when you're braking in the car? How does that feel?
Well, first of all, in Formula One car, when you are coming to the braking point and when you go through the corner, you don't breathe. So you have to hold your breath in that time because you really have to put all your muscles in a maximum attention. It can be very unpleasant, you know, all these G-forces, what you're experiencing. But in our time, we used to do so much testing, so much driving, so our body got used to it. But if I would jump in a Formula One car now, or David, and we would go pulling our 5 or 6 G-forces, I think our six-pack would be in trouble, I tell you.
And DC, just really quickly, it's such a demand on these drivers' bodies, right?
It is, but it's you know, it's an amazing experience to be put through that level of G-force, because that's related to the grip. And a Formula One car generates so much downforce that you look at the corner and it's almost unbelievable how late you can brake. But of course, you feel the car and you pull, as you say, more than 5.5 G under braking. It's like somebody hitting you on the back of the head with a sledgehammer. You know, it's a massive force. And that's why you look at the drivers, their necks are going from their jaw to their shoulders. You know, we obviously only have to hold up our brains, which is not so heavy. So our necks are getting a bit skinny now. But yeah, that's one of the aspects of the sport I love. It's not just about driving fast cars. Physically and mentally, you're pushing yourself to the limit.
Guys, listen, I know our crowd so appreciate you coming out here and talking to them. We appreciate you coming on F1 Explained. You know, for people like me who've been watching Formula One since I was a kid, you guys are absolute legends. You know, I so enjoyed watching you growing up. I know there's so many people here who did exactly the same. We appreciate you. We loved watching you. We appreciate you now. You're part of the F1 community. Thank you for talking to us, for being here. Circuit of the Americas, please make some noise for David Coulthard and Mika Häkkinen.
Well, a huge thank you very much, of course, to our amazing listeners who joined us on the stage, and to Mika Häkkinen and David Coulthard, who are not only, of course, phenomenally talented former Formula One drivers who we love having around the Formula One paddock still to this day, but have increasingly, I think, become a comedy double act. They do bounce off each other really well. It's nice to see ex-teammates becoming such good friends. Now the helmets have been put to one side for the rest of their careers as they do television stuff. And in Mika's case, just generally amble around the paddock looking cool from what I've seen. So, yeah, lovely stuff. Thank you so much to the guys and to the fans at COTA. For those of you who came out to see us, I know a lot of you will be listening to this back. We got such a special reception last weekend at COTA. It was amazing. We know a lot of you are American and are listening from the USA, so coming out to see you and your support of the show, it was amazing. We're so grateful. Thank you very much, guys, and we really hope we'll be back to see you in COTA next season. And if you enjoy our live show specials, we've had breaking news this weekend, big breaking news, that our final live show of the season will be at the Abu Dhabi Grand Prix. So if you're going to be at the race over the course of the weekend and want to come on the live show or ask one of our guests a question, email f1explains@f1.com. If you're going to be at Abu Dhabi, we'd love to see you. I'd love to tell you who the guest is going to be for that show, but we haven't got one yet. I'll be honest, it tends to happen a bit later. So yeah, could be anyone really, couldn't it? Who do we think it will be, producer Jamie?
Well, I'm just looking at Glenn Powell, the famous actor who's just stood down below us. Maybe he'll be up for it.
He might come on. Abby.
He could do, yeah. Let's ask him.
He looks well, doesn't he? Very well-dressed man. Yeah, he could come on. Anyone, basically, someone from the world of Formula One will be with us. And if you want to come on and join them, F1explains@F1.com. Of course, the Formula One world has moved on to Mexico this weekend. I'm recording this little bit back in time at the US Grand Prix. But you enjoy the Mexican Grand Prix, won't you? And of course, F1 Nation with Tom Clarkson will have all the race debrief action you could possibly wish for on F1 Nation after the Grand Prix, so keep an eye out for that. And we've got F1 Beyond the Grid as well for in-depth interviews from the world of Formula One. And don't forget, of course, you know this, you can keep in touch with the race on the official F1 website, on F1 TV, and across F1's social media channels. Here on F1 Explains, we have new episodes every Friday. And we will talk to you next week. I very much look forward to that. I've been Christian Hugill. Thank you for listening to our F1 Explains live show at the US Grand Prix in Austin, Texas. Until next week, bye for now.
Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, we help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Our doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true health starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com. That's abilitychiro.com.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.